Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope that you are having a great start to your week. It's Tuesday, October 13th. Obviously, as we discussed yesterday, we are officially into the NBA offseason. However, there are still plenty of sports going on. Baseball playoffs are down to their final four. NFL football. Hey, if you're unfortunately for less than ideal reasons when it comes to COVID-19, you're basically now getting football almost every night of the week when it comes to the NFL. Of course, the Titans. And the Bills are playing as we speak. So still a lot of sports going on, though the NBA now is into the off season. You obviously can follow the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at Stats SAC. You can also find the show wherever podcasts are available. That would be Spotify, Stitcher, the podcast app on your iPhone, wherever you may choose to listen. And we ask that you do listen. Please do. You know, review, subscribe. Let us know what you think of the show. You know, there are several. I actually today discovered that there are listeners across the globe who listen to Locked On Grizzlies, which I cannot thank them enough for doing. There's a couple questions that later this week I actually we'll get to that have come from listeners who are outside the United States. So wherever you may be listening, thank you so much for the support. We cannot thank you enough and certainly ask that you keep interacting with the show. Let us know what you think, and we always want to make sure that we are providing you with the best content possible, the best content that is relevant to our listeners' preferences. In today's show, I want to talk a little bit about some recent news that came out regarding the Grizzlies that I don't think there's enough admiration, enough spotlight put on. We'll talk about that in the first segment. And then, you know, now that we are in the offseason, we are a little over a month away from the NBA draft. That's going to be the major theme of our podcast over the next several weeks. We're going to be highlighting a lot of different prospects starting later this week that could interest the Grizzlies. You know, just some general ideas of what the Grizzlies, you know, may be looking for and things like that. In today's second and third segment, I will look at, you know, just some general, give a general scope of what we could look at as far as the Grizzlies go. Not much going on in this year's draft compared to the last couple of drafts. We've got the number 40 pick in this draft, of course, you know, in the second round. This is a draft that, you know, overall is not looked upon as being that deeper, you know, that high value of a draft, but there still are potential gems to be found as there is in any draft. So we'll get into that discussion. But before we continue into that, the news that came out yesterday, I believe, actually, Pete Pranica, the television voice of the Grizzlies through Fox Sports South, it came out that he had signed a multi-year extension with the Memphis Grizzlies. And, of course, he had kind of hinted at it over the weekend. It kind of felt as if, you know, he was saying news was coming. It kind of felt as if it was positive news. But, you know, from several prominent names that are out there in Grizzlies Twitter, as well as fans on Grizzlies Twitter as well, you know, it was clear that, you know, it better be positive news. There better not be, you know, any type of surprises that, you know, would prevent us from continuing what's been a great relationship, you know, with Pete Pranica. But, of course, the news was this, was that there was a multi-year extension with the Grizzlies from Pete Pranica, and it could not be any better for Memphis, because, you know, Pete Pranica has become one of the, you know, he's become the voice of the Grizzlies. He has become the voice that, you know, narrates some of our favorite moments from the grit and grind era, from, you know, the past few years, from this year, when it comes to the John Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., and the young core. Just so many great moments have been, you know, narrated and made better by the voice of Pete Pranica. Of course, you know, Pranica, you know, he typically will allude to, especially around the anniversary of his death, Don Poyer was the, you know, previous play-by-play announcer of the Grizzlies, who unexpectedly, you know, passed away back in 2005 at the young age of 54. And ever since then, you know, at the time of Pranica's death, you know, it was actually during, it was right before a game that occurred between the Grizzlies and the Nuggets. But as Pranica will always point out, you know, he always had respect for Poyer, and he certainly has carried on the legacy. But beyond his voice, the reason why I really wanted to spotlight, you know, Pete Pranica and Brevin Knight and Rob Fisher, and also the radio tag team of Eric Hasseltine, Mike Wallace, Elliot Perry, and others, is that we just have a great group of voices that not only make our experience better, but that truly love basketball and the Grizzlies. These folks, they love Memphis, they love the atmosphere here, they love the Grizzlies, and it's an emotional game. It seems like, especially with Eric Hasseltine, whenever there's a negative play for the Grizzlies or there's a play that doesn't make sense, Eric Hasseltine always puts the words out there that I'm thinking in my head. Why did this happen? Well, this doesn't make sense. You know, it's not that he's complaining. He's just trying to, you know, express, as a fan would, what the frustration is with what is going on. But that's a great thing about it, is that it's the emotion that drives the quality of the presentation that Pranica and Hasseltine, plus Knight, Perry, and others provide. And it's a great overall atmosphere that these guys provide. So to hear that Pranica is going to stay around for the foreseeable future, that's great news for the Grizzlies, as hopefully as we get more towards contention, we're going to have Pete Pranica around to continue narrating the voice, that area, to continue to be our voice, to really make the product on the court even better, you know, through his perspective. Now, it's not only the TV and radio, you know, play-by-play announcers and, you know, colored commentators. It's also, you know, Rob Fisher. You know, obviously, with his great wardrobe that he has, you know, reminds you of Craig Sager a bit. But Rob Fisher also just is a genuine good guy. He really enjoys. That's the thing about all these guys. You could just see that they really enjoy the jobs that they have and the opportunity that they have to provide the fans with the best presentation possible of Grizzlies basketball. You know, Rob Fisher also has his name has been out there as a radio and media personality for Memphis, you know, going on decades now. I know that he was with Sports 56. He's now mainly through Grind City Media with Lane Whitaker. But there, you just see a lot of opportunities out there where Rob pops up. He interacts with fans. He provides a great presentation, great personality. He's done a little play-by-play, did a little bit of that in the bubble. You know, not only in terms of the TV presentation, but another person that I think really does add to the atmosphere at both Grizzlies games and Redbirds games is Dustin Starr. You know, another, you know, personality through Grind City Media, but on the Memphis scene at arguably the two biggest sports opportunities, sports experiences in the city besides Tigers games, Dustin Starr is a name that's known, and he's a name that makes the overall experience better. So in general, with the extension of Pete Pranica, I just wanted to take a second to admire and say thank you to all those names that provide us with the best experience possible, whether it's through the radio, on TV, or in person, and especially with what has been going on with COVID-19, with us really not knowing what's going to happen. Hopefully by the time the NBA gets going again, we will be able to be back in person in some capacity. But no matter how you choose to listen to the Grizzlies or interact, you know, and learn more about the Grizzlies, gain the experience of being a fan. Every one of these guys that I have mentioned, and many more, obviously make that experience so much better, and it's great to hear that the gang is going to stick together for quite a while. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get into do a general Grizzlies overview for the draft. What can be expected? What are some areas in which they might focus on? And kind of some trends that we've seen in recent years that they may continue going into this year's draft. If you've noticed in recent days, the weather outside is certainly getting cooler. The fall is here, but of course there are activities going on. Your kids are back in school, maybe sporting events going on, activities happening. Of course, the holidays are right around the corner, so it's at least opportune time for your car to experience trouble. As we all know, that's likely when it will happen. And if you're someone like me, you know, I don't really know how to repair my car, but I know where I can go to get the car parts I need, and that's rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a great source for several reasons. Number one, it's easy to use. Within a few clicks of the button, you should have what you need, and it's likely you'll find what you need because it'll usually have any part that, you know, may not be working for any make and model that you may have. And regardless of your experience, if you're a do-it-yourselfer, you do repairs for other people, or you need someone else to do the repairs, rockauto.com will have the parts that you need, and it's a great opportunity for you to be able to find it in your budget because this is a family-owned business. It's a very cost-effective source. They know that car parts are a big expense when they happen, so they try to keep things as economically friendly as possible. If you go over to rockauto.com right now, let them know that the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. Rockauto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts you will ever need. Visit rockauto.com today. You ever feel like your day is just blocked by a wall? You know, it can happen to you at any age. If you're a student, it's getting ready to study for your test. If you're a young adult, it's getting ready to transition from being in school to getting to a work day. You know, wherever you are in life, maybe before a workout, getting on with your work day, whether it's a mental or physical wall, you know, it's there. And sometimes it's hard to overcome. For me personally, it's coming back to work from a good meal at lunch. That break is so wonderful. And then to get back to the daily grind sometimes, you know, can require a lot of effort. Well, an idea that I have that may be able to make your, you know, effort and a little easier to find is Built Go. Built Go is an easy to take in 1.5 ounce package of workout gel, and it's the best one on the market. It's basically 5 hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. And it comes in three delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. And again, this isn't it. While it, you know, it is very good to use for a workout opportunity, it's just if you want to simply add it to your day, it can provide a lot of benefit to give you the energy that you need and also promote health. It combines energy gel with collagen protein. It's loaded with good stuff to help you ignite your work, and it also allows for you to keep going throughout the day without the crash feeling. If you go to visit BuiltGo.com and use promo code LOCKED, you'll get 20% off your next order. Again, if you use promo code LOCKED at BuiltGo.com, you'll get 20% off your next order. But I can tell you this, once you add BuiltGo to your daily routine, it will be there to stay for the foreseeable future. Again, go to BuiltGo.com. Use the promo code LOCKED for 20% off your next order of Built Go. Let's go. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So we now are in the off season, and as I stated yesterday, typically, you know, in any other year, you know, right now we'd be getting excited because the new additions and the young rookies and all that different stuff, all the new things about the team that you may cheer for is about to get going for the season. But this is not obviously like any other year. We're in a new era as far as, you know, what to expect. It's kind of being done, you know, on the go. You know, a lot of things are still undetermined by the league and the Players Association, as I discussed yesterday. And as they get ironed out, we eventually will have more certainty on how things will happen. Well, of course, in any other normal year, you typically see the NBA Finals get done in, you know, mid-June, basically. And literally a week later, you then have the draft and you then have free agency. So it's just a consistent area of excitement. Even though it's not on the court anymore, there still is the excitement of seeing how your organization or franchise that you cheer for is going to take the next steps. Well, this year, you know, the one thing that is certain, as of right now, as certain as it can be, is that we actually are going to get a little over a month between end of the NBA Finals, which was on the 11th this year, this past Sunday, and the draft. And so with that being said, you know, that will be, as I mentioned in the first segment, the primary focus of a lot of our content over the next month or so, discussing different prospects, different ways through the draft in which the Grizzlies might improve. We'll also give some general ideas of the draft leading up to it. You know, because sports is kind of, you know, irregular this year, the NBA draft still should be an experience. We'll have some familiar guests who we've had in the past, such as Chip Williams, who will come on the show with us. We'll also have some new guests, some guys that will really talk about, you know, how the Grizzlies have had success in previous drafts and some players out there that Memphis could target in the second round. But just want to give a general overview of what to kind of look out for as we lead up and as content comes out about the draft. So the Grizzlies have one pick this year, and that is the 40th overall pick. They've made a lot of moves in recent years, you know, and especially over the past 12 to 15 months, they have acquired future picks. But for this year, they just have one pick, which there is their second round pick, which is 40th overall. Now, obviously, the benefit of that is that, you know, as we discussed when the draft lottery occurred, one big benefit of not having a first-round pick this year is that the Grizzlies will now have a pick in a what's considered to be a deeper 2021 draft. We've discussed that in full detail, so that's the reason why we only have one pick. But the thing about it is that second-round picks are not unfamiliar to Grizzlies and Grizzlies fans. You know, if you look in the recent past, the Grizzlies have had some decent success when it comes to second-round picks. Of course, in 2017, there was what we picked Dylan Brooks. We added him to the Grizzlies core. He has become our starting two guard. We've extended him for 3 years, $30 million. And while you may have different opinions of him, you know, for a second round pick such of his caliber to have been picked and worked out as he had, you know, there's a lot to be said about that. Obviously, in the 2018 draft, we then picked Javon Carter. Now, Javon Carter, You know, at the time, he likely was picked more for a flawed philosophy of getting back to defense that Chris Wallace wanted than him being picked for his overall ceiling. As, you know, we discussed at the time, there likely was better overall picks out there that the Grizzlies could have made. But this new front office turned right around and they got one of those higher ceiling potential prospects in De'Anthony Melton by trading Javon Carter. Carter has worked out well for the Suns. He, in my opinion, exceeded expectations himself for the Suns, and he showed that he can add defensive value in on the court. But as we know, De'Anthony Melton obviously has turned into, you know, just a clear, you know, a player with a clear higher ceiling. And then, of course, in last year's draft, while the Grizzlies didn't have the second-round pick, they were able to pick up John Concher, you know, on a two-way contract. Concher really emerged as being, you know, he was really productive in the G League as the season went on, showed a lot of potential when he came over to the Grizzlies and got a little bit of playing time, you know, with the NBA squad. So the thing about it is that you've seen a trend, basically, in the Grizzlies' second-round pick with Brooks and Carter, you know, even throwing in Brandon Clark in there, though he was a first-round pick, but Brandon Clark and Concher, what you've seen with these Grizzlies picks, especially as we get later in the draft recently, is you've seen them target older prospects who may not have the highest ceiling as younger players. That's why they were picked where they were picked, but these players that have really been able to turn into successful commodities in the NBA, and it follows right along with what Taylor Jenkins and Zach Kleiman have said that they target. They want high character, hard-working, high-profile players that have shown high production by being committed to improvement when it comes to their game. You see it in Dylan Brooks in college. You know, he was able to be a scorer and, you know, continue to improve his game in time, and he's done the same in the NBA. John Concher was an across-the-board contributor in college. He comes to the NBA, shows that same type of characteristic. Brandon Clark, though he only really showed it for one season, he was such a standout source of efficiency that the Grizzlies really targeted him, and obviously it proved to be very astute as he turned one into one of the best rookies in the 2019 class, and now has really become one of the best reserve assets in the NBA. So that's one thing really to focus on when it comes to the Grizzlies, is that they continue to show a preference towards productive products that have shown the mentality to be high energy, high of high character, high IQ, with a willingness to work. So that could be something that they focus on when it comes to this year's draft. For instance, one player that we already know that the Grizzlies have looked at, and we will profile him, you know, in a later episode in the near future, is Amir Yurtseven, you know, from Georgetown, a transfer who transferred, you know, there this past year. Drew Hill talked a bit about him last week when he was on the show, but he's another player who has had extended college experience. He's 22 years old, so he's older in terms of a prospect, but there are indications where he could turn into a valuable player for the Grizzlies to target. He's shown some shooting prowess. He's shown the ability to rebound. He can do the things you would expect of a big man, plus offer, you know, potential to do more, you know, as his game develops. But again, he's that older type prospect who is shown multiple ways in which he can contribute to a team. So that's kind of where the Grizzlies may continue to focus. Of course, there are other areas where the Grizzlies could, you know, potentially put their focus as well. For instance, though they have drafted these older prospects who may be more of finished products than younger prospects could be, the Grizzlies did show a preference towards a young prospect with a considerably high ceiling when they traded for De'Anthony Melton. So that's another route that they could go, getting that type of player who can offer across the board potential, but right now is still more of a project than he is a product. So there's several different ways the Grizzlies could go. We're going to take our last break of the show, and when I come back, I'm going to focus on the three areas where from in terms of importance where I think the Grizzlies could target a prospect. These are the areas that I really think the Grizzlies will focus on when it comes to evaluating the prospects that they want to add. We'll be right back with you here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. around draft time in any sport, one basically universal debate that's timeless is what draft strategy makes the most sense. Do you go with best player available, or do you draft for need? Well, a lot of times, you know, there's a clear need, you know, especially if you are a more competitive team. If you've got, you know, you've got a young core in place that you know is going to be successful, but you need some depth at a specific position, you may draft for need if you're a contender. When you're a young team, it basically is just you wanting to, you know, accumulate as much talent as possible. You know, in the NBA, where typically, you know, I would say that if you look at Major League Baseball, the NBA, and the NFL, you would go the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball in terms of how quickly you expect a rookie to contribute, or how quickly you would expect for them to become a significant piece, you know, to your present and future. And with that in mind, I think that when it comes to the NBA draft, you probably see kind of in the lottery the best players available being taken. So if you've got a team that's not far away from being a playoff contender that is in the lottery, you may see them draft for need. But in general, you've got teams that are in rebuilding that are probably going to be in the lottery for a few years. They're going to take best player available, you know, if they just don't have a clear need that they need to fill. So it kind of becomes an interesting debate. Best, you know, there's pros and cons to both approaches. But I think when it comes to second round picks in the NBA, it generally is a lottery ticket. You know, there are maybe specific traits that you're looking to improve about your team, and there may be a specific trait about the player that you're focusing on that you think you could develop. And I think that's what it comes down to the Grizzlies. There are three areas where I think the Grizzlies, you know, could, you know, logically focus on when it comes to their second round pick or multiple picks if they were to gain into their pick. There are three areas where I think the Grizzlies will focus on, but there's also one specific trait that I also think that they really are, you know, prioritizing that I feel will take precedent over anything in terms of them landing a player they feel like they can develop this specific trait, you know, from, you know, a player they feel that could significantly improve in this specific area regardless of position. But let's talk about the areas where the Grizzlies might focus. Now, one, you know, in terms of, you know, okay, this clearly is an area where the Grizzlies probably could use another player, but it's not drastically important, and that's a third point guard. You know, obviously, the reason why it's not that important is because, as we have discussed, when it comes to Ja Morant and Tyus Jones, you clearly already have over 40 minutes of every 48-minute game taken up by a point guard that really allows for the Grizzlies to play, you know, a lot of times at a higher-than-expected level, especially on offense. But there are potential needs in which there is a need for a third trusty ball handler, because when it comes to Tyus, when it comes to Ja, Tyus is shooting especially, Ja's athleticism off the ball, there is a need to where you could have another ball handler in the game with Ja or Tyus where those two players could work off the ball, so you would need someone that you could trust to not turn the ball over and set up plays that are being designed. So I think that there are some interesting names out there. Again, we'll get to them in time, but I do think that one area of need, theoretically, that the Grizzlies could focus on is a third point guard. Another area, and I think that this is where Omer Yurtseven that Drew Hill talked about kind of focuses on, is a developmental big. Now, when you look at the Grizzlies' front court, I mentioned it before, I think there is more certainty. There is higher ceiling certainty for the future of the Grizzlies' front court right now than there is the backcourt outside of Ja Morant. With Jaren Jackson Jr., Brandon Clark, you know, here for the foreseeable future, hopefully. You've obviously got multiple years with Jonas Valanciunas, and you also have another year with Gorgui Dieng. You pretty much got your rotation in place. You're too deep, at least through next year. The Grizzlies also have Anthony Tolliver that I think Coach Taylor Jenkins really preferred due to his shooting ability, and I also think that the Grizzlies have found another intriguing player in Jonte Porter, the older brother of Michael Porter Jr., who came over from Missouri, obviously has had some, you know, extensive injury history. You don't really know what you're getting from him, but But again, he's kind of like a second-round pick in his own right, a young big that you really wouldn't want to see develop, because at a time, he was a highly considered talent for the NBA. But I do think with the fact that, you know, Dang is only going to be here for another year, could be traded in the right deal to get assets. You know, Jonas Valanciunas may eventually become a trade piece. He is going to be, you know, he may not be, you know, as far as the far-term future goes, a part of the Grizzlies' future. I think that getting a big, drafting a developmental big, and there's been a few that have been thrown out there in Grizzlies' mock drafts, I think that a developmental big could be an area that the Grizzlies focus on. And one trait I do think that could emerge with that big is not only his ability to rebound, but also his ability to space the court with his shooting. So I do think that a developmental big is probably the second area and a bit more of a preferred area for the Grizzlies to go after in terms of their roster construction and the future depth in the franchise. I think a developmental big that can both rebound and shoot may be something that the Grizzlies focus on. The number one thing that I think the Grizzlies may focus on is depth at the wing. When you look at the Grizzlies roster, I feel like that, you know, again, you want to talk about positionless basketball, but I really think when you look at the Grizzlies roster, there are only three players who you truly see as you know, wings, as, you know, guys that really fit that description of a wing. That is Dylan Brooks, that is Justice Winslow, and that is Kyle Anderson. Now, other players can play out there, but I think, you know, Tyus and Ja are true point guards. When it comes to DeAnthony Melton, John Concher, Grayson Allen, those guys are more of combo guards. They can play a little point guard, but due to their size, they're more of a shooting guard. You know, they're smaller for shooting guards and can play a little point guard. You know, you could look at Marco Gudurić, but again, I really don't focus on him, as I just think that once his contract is done, he doesn't have a future in Memphis. When it comes to the Grizzlies' front court, you do have Brandon Clark, Jaren Jackson Jr., Jonas Valanciunas, and Gorgui Dieng, but those guys are more there to fill the slots in the four and five spots. So in terms of wing depth, you know, the Grizzlies have right now, Justice Winslow, Kyle Anderson, and Dylan Brooks. Now, Josh Jackson, you could throw in there as well, but I don't think that he is going to stay in Memphis. So I think wing depth is going to be another area that the Grizzlies could focus on. And the thing about this draft is that there are plenty of intriguing talents that could play, you know, both the shooting guard and the small forward position or the wing position in general that could help out on the perimeter. There are several prospects who can turn into 3-and-D type prospects, other prospects who can turn into secondary playmakers, a lot of guys who can really help in transition. But there are a few players out there that could also improve the Grizzlies' shooting depth, as we've seen, like the Nuggets, teams like the Nuggets and the Heat really rely on to emerge as contenders this past year. So I feel like that the area that the Grizzlies are going to focus on most, where the most likely quote-unquote position that you may see the Grizzlies focus on would be wing depth. And it makes sense because that is the area where we likely have the least depth, but also we probably have the least clear future. We know that we've got Jaren Jackson Jr. and Brandon Clark to build around the front court and John the back court. But adding wing depth, and quality depth, I think is a big focus. Now, the one trait that I think emerges out of all three of these potential needs is the ability to shoot. That clearly is what the Grizzlies need. That seems to be what they're going to focus on. It seemed to be the preference that Taylor Jenkins showed when he played Grayson Allen above DeAnthony Melton, when he played Anthony Tolliver above Gorgui Dieng. The ability for the Grizzlies to shoot. I'm talking about how he prioritized rotations in the bubble. I think no matter if it's a big man all the way down to a point guard, I think the Grizzlies are wanting to focus on someone who they feel has significant shooting potential. And it makes perfect sense. Again, when it comes to the Memphis market, the likelihood of them attracting a big-time free agent that can solve their shooting woes in just one singular figure is very unlikely. So the way that the Grizzlies overcome that and start to improve their shooting is to have it at all levels, not only in the starting lineup to complement Morant and Jackson Jr., but also in the bench. And at the end of the bench, being able to have multiple shooters that defenses have to respect at all times on the court is a big focus for the Grizzlies. one right now that I don't think that they can consistently offer. So whether it's a third point guard, whether it's a developmental big, or whether it's some wing depth, I think that the Grizzlies' primary focus is going to be on shooting, and that's one area that we're going to focus on when we start talking about some of these prospects that we're going to profile here in the near future. Thanks so much for listening to the show. Can't thank you enough, as always, for subscribing and listening. We always love any interactions. Make sure you follow us at Locked On Grizz on Twitter, myself at StatsASAC, and the podcast wherever podcasts may be available. Again, starting this week, we'll start taking some deep dives into some prospect profiles that could make sense for the Grizzlies. We'll have special guests on here in the near future as well to talk about the Grizzlies' focus and the draft overall, and just give you a lot of different perspectives getting you ready for the 2020 NBA draft. My name is Sean Coleman. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.